You know, the whole introduction to this, the first five chapters of Genesis, the first book of Moses, as he is writing, what we are learning about here, particularly in Genesis chapter 4, 17 through 5:32, what we are learning about is the line of Adam, a line of Adam through Cain, and a line of Adam through Seth. Now, how many of you have heard of Cain and Abel? Yeah, what happened there? Somebody got jealous and slew his brother, smote him, as the old King James would say. He killed his brother because he was jealous that God accepted his offering of sacrifice, Abel's offering of sacrifice, and he did not accept that of Cain's. But what you have here is a boy born to Adam again, whose name was Seth. So Seth becomes a replacement for the line of Abel, who was a shepherd. So here we have two lineages that are being compared back to Adam. Of course, they all both come from Adam. If you're looking there in Genesis 4:17 and through 5:32, we have Adam. Here is Cain's line. It goes Adam, Cain, Enoch, not the Enoch we're going to talk about today, but Irad, Mahujael, Methushael, and Lamech. How many generations is that? Seven. Now, this is the line from Adam through Seth, who is a replacement to Abel. We have Adam, we have Seth, we have Enosh, we have Kenan, we have Mahalalel, we have Jared, and then we have the Enoch that we're going to talk about this morning. How many generations is that? There's seven generations. As you begin to look and compare these genealogies, or these two lines, the line of Cain and the line of Seth, what we begin to see some significant differences between these two lines. With the line of Abel, what it was about grace, it was about love, it was about acceptance. And through the line of Cain, we have nothing more. When you get to Lamech in Genesis 4:17, probably around verse 20 or somewhere around there, verse 23, he's talking about a song. He's talking about how he killed someone because they did something to him, and then he's given an excuse, really, as to why he was killing people. But as you look down and then you see Seth, as you come into Enoch, you have a difference. You have Lamech, who is of Cain's line, saying, I kill, I kill. And then you have Enoch, who is from Seth's line, saying, he walked with God. Two complete differences. And what I want to talk to you about is really, for those of you who are studying Timothy with Dr. Johnny Hunt in our Sunday morning Bible study, it goes along with what he was talking about in relation to Timothy's life. It's that heritage of faith. Here we see two heritages. One heritage coming through Adam, through Cain. Another heritage coming from Adam through Seth, who is that replacement to Abel. We see that replacement, or that substitution idea coming into Scripture even very early there from Genesis. And it's kind of a forerunner of what Christ would do for us, that substitution that he provides for us. But here we see these two heritages coming through these two lineages. Seth's line represents hope and healing. Cain's line represents hate and havoc. Do you know each generation, both of these, who was their daddy? Who was their mother? Adam and Eve was Cain's mom and dad, and was Seth's mom and dad. They had the same mother and father. They got the same upbringing. I'm sure as they were being raised that Adam and Eve would tell them, these boys, how there was a time when the Lord would come in the cool of the day to walk with them in the Garden of Eden, to walk with them. It was a time when they walked physically with God. And they were not to be, they were hiding nothing from him. And I'm sure how they went and they shared about the fall and how all of that took place. But they, both lines had that as their heritage. What makes one so different from the other? What makes one generation or one lineage or one line so different from the other? Do you know that each generation, every generation, can choose whether or not to walk with God? I believe even though Cain's line had this hate and this animosity and this frustration that God did not honor their sacrifice, that they had all of these excuses and all of this anger built up with the frustration that they were not accepted, or their father, grandfather, great-grandfather was not accepted of God. But here's the truth. The truth is that every generation of Cain's family had a choice of whether to walk with God or not. Just as Seth's line had. So I must ask you, as we look at the background of these generations, what choice are you making today? As grandmother, as grandfather, as mom and dad, as son or daughter, what is the history of your heritage? We talked about in Sunday school this morning to share those old stories, to share the story of the family, of how God has showed up on the scene and how He has walked with us through crisis and through the good times. How He has literally walked with us. We need to share those testimonies of how God has walked with us and how we have chosen to walk with Him. We need to share those stories. Yes, we need to share the stories of this book, but we also need to share the stories of how God has been relevant to us in our lives, so that our grandchildren and our children's 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 children, so that they will remember a time when great, 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 you fill in the blank, how many times you want to go back, of the story when they had an opportunity to walk with God and they chose to do so. Every generation has an opportunity whether to choose to walk with God or not. What choice are you making is my first question today. What choice are you making? How are you leading your family? And then what will be your legacy? What will be your legacy? As we come to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, Scripture says, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Some interesting things just jump out to me here in this passage of Scripture. It's not a lot about Enoch there. But it covers, what is there, covers a span of 365 years. And we're told all that we need to know about what this man chose to do. The first thing that pops into my mind as I look and I see how he walked with God there in verse number 24, it reminds me of how Adam and Eve walked with God in the Garden of Eden, which we'd already talked about. That passage of Scripture is found in Genesis 3, verse 8. But I am also recognizing that it was not until what age did he choose to start walking with God? What does Scripture say there? Scripture tells us specifically right there. If you look at verse number 21, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. Now, why did Enoch choose to walk with God? Why did he choose? After 65 years, that's pretty much almost a lifetime for us. After 65 years, then he chose to follow and to walk with God. What happened? What happened in his life? Well, there was definitely a turning point in his life. Because at the age of 65, what happened? He had a baby boy. that we become one of the oldest people, if not the oldest person, to ever live on the face of the earth. Methuselah. He had this baby boy. He and his wife had this baby boy. And that turning point, it was a turning point in his life. I don't know if Methuselah was a hard lad to raise. Or as he looked at him and he looked at that young boy and he said, "Lord, I sure am going to need some help." I don't know what went on there, but what I do know is that there was a turning point in Enoch's life, and it was at the age of 65, which tells me that we can choose to follow and walk with God at any age, no matter how old, no matter how old you may be or how many wasted years you may think you have. This man chose on a turning point, at a turning point in his life, he chose to begin walking with the Lord at the age of 65. In that turning point, he chose to do that. If we look in consideration and in comparison, did Lamech in verses Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. Now this Lamech is from Cain's line. This Lamech is from Cain's line. Did Lamech not have the same choice that Enoch did? Certainly he did. Then it leads me to ask this question about myself and about you. Have you ever had a turning point in your life? Have you had that event that just changed the way you relate to others and the way you relate to the Lord? It is a monumental turning point in your life. In fact, if we look back through the Old Testament, what did the Old Testament prophets, what did they do when they these turning points came into their lives or into the life of the nation of Israel? What did they do? They would set up memorials. They would share them. As they crossed over the Jordan, they set up those 12 stones. And they would walk back and those stones were a memorial of what God did for them. Do we have those turning points? Have we set up a memorial of those turning points in our own life so that we can share those moments with our family of how God has walked with us and how we have chosen to walk with God? Could today be that turning point? It's a simple question. Could today be that turning point for you? Will you choose to walk with God or will you choose to hide from God? I am sure Adam and Eve told the story of how they hid from the Lord because they were ashamed of their sin. I wonder if we, with our families, are we sharing that same story? Are we sharing also with them in the same breath that I have hidden from God and that it is okay to be real with God? That God is not someone who is going to harm us or hurt us. If we were to make a confession of our sins, that He would be there and He would be there willing to accept us and to offer grace where grace is needed. You see, what I think happens on many times, on many occasions, is this. What our children see in us is that all we ever do is hide. They never see us being real with the Lord. So what's instilled into them is hiding. And they forever begin to play a game, a child's game of hide and seek. Although it's not with other people, it's with the Lord, where He is coming to seek them, and they are doing nothing but hiding because they are afraid. Could today be a turning point from you? Will you choose today to walk with God, or will you choose to hide from Him? I guess what it comes down to is, will you choose hate over hope? That's what Cain's line did. They chose hate over the message of hope. As we continue looking in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, we see a little bit more about Enoch there in the New Testament. Scripture tells me there in Hebrews 11:5, tells me, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he had obtained the witness that before his being taken up, that he was pleasing to God. You know, this is Enoch's testimony found written in the New Testament by one of the New Testament authors who we believe to be Paul. But here are some things that I want to point out in this Hebrews 11 verse 5. Enoch had a witness. He walked with God and he had a witness for God. His witness, what was his witness based upon? Well, here in Hebrews 11, 5, it tells us specifically what his witness was based upon. His witness was the result of his faith. His witness was a result of his faith in God alone. That was where his witness came, from where his witness came. What was Enoch's witness? His witness was that he walked with God. His faith gave him an ability to walk with God. His faith gave him an ability to be pleasing to God. And his faith gave him the opportunity to be a witness for God. Right there in this one verse, he walked with God, he was pleasing to God, and he was a witness for God. How many years was he a witness? Come on. I know, Natalie, 300 years. Let's go to our accountant major over here. How many years was he a witness for the Lord? 300 years. What a testimony. For 300 years to walk with the Lord, to share that heritage of walking with the Lord, to walk so closely to Him that one day you just walked on up into glory. It came down, if you remember the story of Elijah and the fiery chariot that came down and got him. You hear this. You hear these stories. What an amazing story it would have been for Enoch's grandchildren, their son walking and telling telling their grandchildren, Enoch's grandchildren, hey, granddaddy was so close to the Lord that he would just kept walking and walking, getting closer and closer. And one day, the Lord just took him. What a testimony that is to walk with the Lord for 300 years. Here's the thing that I want you to recognize. We humans, we love the idea of quantity, whether it's money, whether it's fish, whether it's deer, we like the idea of quantity. So as I look at this idea of 300 years, we think, wow, what an awesome man that was. But here's where I want to caution you. Whether or not it is 1 year, whether or not it is two, or whether it is 30, or whether it is 65, let it be said of you, on the day that you are buried, that you walked with God. Let that be said of you. Don't get caught up in the idea of the quantity of the years. Get caught up in the quality of the relationship that you have with the Lord. And let that be your testimony that resounds throughout your heritage and of your family's heritage. Let that be the testimony, because it was the testimony that Enoch had. For 300 years, he walked with God. So let me ask you, what is the character of your witness? Everyone has one. What is the character of your witness? Let me ask you this. What does your wife or your husband say about your witness? What does your mom or dad say about your witness? You know, one of my favorite authors and preachers, for that matter, Johnny Hunt, he said, who you are alone is who you really are. When you are alone, who you are, that's who you are. So when you are alone and nobody else is watching, who are you? Because that is who you really are. Another way to look at that is, those closest to us know what our testimony is. If you really want a true accounting of your character and of your witness, ask the man or woman seated beside you. They will tell you not to hurt you, but to provide assistance, to reveal to you that we do, not only you, but they also need to be walking with God on a continual basis, so that you might develop a stronger bond with each other, with the Lord as we are walking, so that we might build that relationship with each other, with the Lord as we're walking, and share that walk with our families. You know, Johnny Hunt also once said this: when you get honest with God, you can exchange the fig leaves you use to cover your sin with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a powerful statement. That is a powerful statement. When you get honest with God, you can exchange the fig leaves you use to cover your sin with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that, ladies and gentlemen, spells for me justification. We are justified through His blood. It is through His blood that His righteousness is imputed or placed or accredited to our account. That is powerful. So what do you think of this quote that I just read about Johnny Hunt? What do you think of it? How does it relate to the genealogies of Cain and Seth? How does it relate? How does it relate to them? But then ultimately the question comes back around, and I have to ask, how does it relate to you and your family? The last verse of Scripture is in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. Jesus is talking here to His disciples, and this is what He says: "This is My commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends." Then He looks at them and He says — I could only see it as being a dramatic pause after He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends." The dramatic pause. Their eyes turning and looking to Jesus. The effect. Then He says, "You are My friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from My Father, I have made known to you." How does someone become a friend of God? We have friends throughout this walks of life, this earthly existence of ours. But my question to you is simply, how does one become a friend of God? Scripture is pretty pointed here in that we will walk with God. He or she walks with God. How does someone become a friend of God? If someone is a friend of God, if he or she walks with God. A person is a friend of God if he or she pleases God. And a person is a friend of God if he or she is a witness for God. So I know what you're thinking at this point. Well, Mike, I know you're talking about us walking with the Lord. Just a closer walk with Thee. You've told me about how Seth did this, how Cain's line did not. How Enoch walked with Him. And how Enoch had this testimony. I know all that. But Mike, what you haven't told me is, how do I walk closer with the Lord? Well, someone becomes closer with the Lord. If we look here in this passage of Scripture, it is very simple. In knowing His Word, He came to tell us His Word. So we come and become closer with the Lord by knowing His Word. But it's not just by knowing. We see the knowing part there in verse number 15. "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from My Father, I have made known to you." That "made known," He has made known what He wants us to do through His Word. So if we want to have a closer walk with the Lord, we should be in His Word. But it's more than just knowing His Word. It's more than just knowing. It encompasses doing as well. We must follow His Word. We must do His Word. So my question in application comes down to this. Mike, how do I get a closer walk with Thee? I've heard the story about Enoch, and that's the type of lifestyle that I want to have. But how do I get a closer walk with the Lord? Well, do you read and study Scripture personally? Do you read and study Scripture with your family? Do you read and study Scripture with others? Are you fully engaging in God's mission here on this earth? And then, as Ian and his Karis showed me this week, it is easy to get distracted from following and walking with the Lord. I know they're children, but it's an illustration for me. And I know that looking at fireflies is an awesome thing, and I would expect kids to walk into poles because they're looking at fireflies. I think it's a beautiful picture, but it speaks to me. It speaks to me on a personal level because it's the Lord looking and asking me, are you not watching where you're going, Michael? What are you looking at? What are you so caught up in that you are failing to walk with me? So my question in ending, as we come and get a verse of Him ready, just a closer walk with Thee, is simply, what are you willing to give up in order to have just a closer walk with the Lord? What are you willing to give up just to have a closer walk with the Lord? This morning, I pray that you would consider and evaluate your life. Evaluate the direction that you want your heritage and your legacy to go. And let's be real with the Lord. And if we need to come down and confess, Lord, I am sorry because I've been distracted. Lord, I've not been walking with you daily. Let the words of this hymn speak and be a prayer unto the Lord that you're offering to Him.